Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord. This passage in the Gospel of St. Matthew is, of course, very familiar to us Catholics. It's deeply rooted in our own understanding of St. Peter and the ministry of the Bishop of Rome. But it's important that it's cut today in such a way that we get the epilogue, the episode that follows. It'd be real easy to think that this is simply about Jesus empowering Peter and then everything's going to be okay. But the moment that Jesus empowers Peter, he screws it up. And that is very often what happens to us. The moment we're empowered, the moment we finally sort of seem to get it, things fall apart again. St. Lawrence is one of the favored patrons of the Church of Rome, and we're in a kind of a weird cycle. This doesn't happen very often in the calendar, where the saint days actually wind up matching up sort of with each other. So three days ago, I have no idea if the priest celebrated it or not. He probably didn't. But we celebrated the feast of St. Sixtus, the second, which is confusing since Sixtus means six. But Pope Sixtus, right, was celebrating Mass in the catacombs, surrounded by several of his deacons and a number of the laity, when the troops came in. And they martyred the Pope and all of the deacons and almost all of the lay people right there at Mass. So think poor Father Hamel in France just a year or so ago. Except Lawrence. They kept one of the deacons alive because they were disappointed with the amount of stuff that they found at the liturgy. They thought there would be more treasure. So they kept one of the men alive and demanded that he return 3 days later with the treasures of the Church of Rome. So Lawrence went out into the streets and gathered all the homeless people that he could and showed up at the appointed time to turn over the treasures of the church, and opened his arms, revealing that the treasures of the church are the poor. This both worked and didn't. He proved his point, but of course it infuriated the soldiers in such a way that instead of being easily dispatched like the Holy Father, he was broiled on a gridiron. Famously, Lawrence was known for his humor, so at one point, while being roasted alive, he tells his executioners, "I'm done on this side, turn me over." We tell these stories, I think, not only to deal with sort of the morbid tension of the fact that Christian life can involve death, that Christian life necessarily involves death, but because the tension present in this passage of the gospel, where Jesus reveals to us who Peter really is, and where Peter discovers who Peter really is in light of who Jesus is the same tension at work in all of our lives. I only come to know who Father McManus is in light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't know who I am otherwise, and neither can you. And somehow, mysteriously, we come to know who Jesus is. We come to know him in an intuitive, human, personal way as we come to know ourselves. St. Catherine of Siena called this the cell of self-knowledge, the room, the cloister of self-knowledge inside each of us. It was lack of self-knowledge that led to Miriam's leprosy in the reading the other day and ultimately to her death. It was sort of the height of self-knowledge that allowed Moses to know himself even in light of his own sin. The people of Israel remember contending with the Lord at Meribah in the first reading and in the psalm. Today, contend with the Lord. Contend with yourselves. Be tested again, so that what happens here reveals not only who you really are, but more fundamentally, who he really is.